Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Wednesday. Baron Bishop Moore, 74, of Odessa, passed away April 9th. Baron was born December 5th, 1947, to Robert Albert Moore, Jr., Bob, and Jane Bishop Moore. He was preceded in death by his parents and his son-in-law, J.W. Smith. Baron will be loved and remembered by his wife, Connie Moore. He left a strong legacy through his children and grandchildren, Molly Moore Kinsey and her daughter, Marcy Thomason and her husband Michael and their daughters, Jacob and Elise Moore and their daughter, Robert and Lacey Moore, Ryan and Tricia Stig, Chris Bailey, Chris and Lisa Alvarado and their children. Graveside service will be held at Balmoray Cemetery on Wednesday, April 13th at 2 p.m. Flowers can be sent to Pecos Funeral Home, or in lieu of flowers, memoriams can be made to the Gifts of Hope or Home Hospice in Odessa. Pecos Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. Antonia Garcia Escobedo, age 72, passed away at Medical Center Hospital on Thursday, April 7th. She was born in Aguas Calientes, Mexico, June 27th, 1949, to Elisa Escobedo and the late Jose Alberto Garcia. Those left to cherish her love and memory are her mother, two brothers, Martin Garcia of Odessa and Ricardo Garcia of Mexico, six sisters, Rosario Salas, Gloria Garcia and husband Alfredo, and Laura Garcia, all of Mexico, Beatrice Ogburn of Tennessee, Elizabeth Garcia of Mississippi, and Sandra Garcia and husband David of Mexico, numerous nieces and nephews, and several extended family members and friends. Funeral services will be held at a later date. Burial will be at Jardines Eternos in Aguas Calientes, Mexico. Online condolences can be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Marcy G. Barnes, 71, of Odessa, passed away on Thursday, April 7th, in Odessa. Marcy was born in Round Rock, Texas, on March 18th, 1951, to Jose Gonzalez and Amelia Martinez. She is preceded in death by her parents, her brothers Pete, Ben, Francisco, and Philemon Gonzalez. Marcy is survived by her husband, James Barnes, her two sons, Hashim and Ezekiel James Barnes, and wife Heidi Ann Barnes, and her two grandchildren, brothers Jose Gonzalez Jr., Albert Gonzalez, and her sisters Mary Lou Almaguer, Connie Molinar, and Amy Hernandez. Funeral services will be Friday, April 15th at 12 p.m., with public viewing starting at 10 a.m. at Life Challenge on 4500 North Grandview Avenue, Odessa. Warren Clyde Grove, age 86, passed away at Medical Center Hospital in Odessa on Thursday, April 7th. He was born in H, Pennsylvania on March 30th, 1936, to the late Alan and Olive Baker Grove. Those left to cherish his love and memory are his sister-in-law Sarah Grove of Odessa, nieces, nephew, and great-nieces. In addition to his parents, he is preceded in death by his brothers Alan Grove and Elwood Grove and sister Carol Grove Wayant. Memorial services will be held at Highland Methodist Church on Saturday, April 16th at 11 a.m. Interment will be privately held in Pennsylvania at a later date. Condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. In lieu of flowers, please make donations in Warren's honor to Heart to Heart Hospice or to Highland Methodist Church. Juan Daniel Alvarado, 59, of Odessa, died Monday, April 11th, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday, April 14th at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Carl Arnold Chambers, 85, of Odessa, died Tuesday, April 5th in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. April 19th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Blake Ellison, 38, of Odessa, died Sunday, April 10th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. April 16th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Byron McWilliams is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Jeremy Kenneth Schiff, 42, of Midland, died Wednesday, April 6th, in Midland. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. April 14th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Dr. Alfred Vardaman is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Kenneth Wayne Acock, 29, died Wednesday, April 6th in Hobbs, New Mexico. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland. David Dean Boring, 54, died Friday, April 8th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland.
This is Jane reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, April 13th. Address your advanced care plans now. Document helps communicate medical treatment wishes when you cannot. National Healthcare Decision Day is Saturday. Although it is a day to bring the important topic of advanced care plans to the forefront, it is something that can be addressed any day of the year. This day is to educate and empower someone to take the steps to make yours and your loved one's advanced directives. What is an advanced directive, you may ask? It is a written statement or document of a person's wishes regarding his or her medical treatment. These documents are made to ensure those mentioned wishes are carried out should the person not be able to communicate. The four types of advanced directives are directive to physicians and family or surrogate, medical power of attorney, out of hospital, do not resuscitate order, and declaration of mental health treatment. Let's learn a little more about each of these. The directive to physicians and family or surrogates allow you to specify for the provision, withdrawal, or withholding of medical care in the event of a terminal or irreversible condition. This document is designed to help you communicate your wishes about medical treatment when you are unable to make wishes due to illness or injury. You may want to consider what burdens or hardships of treatment you will be willing to accept versus the amount of benefit obtained if you were seriously ill. It is important to discuss these wishes with your family or chosen spokesperson, physician, or healthcare provider and medical institution. The medical power of attorney allows you to designate another person as your agent or spokesperson for making healthcare decisions if you become incompetent. It is important to note that you do not have to have a terminal or irreversible condition for a medical power of attorney to be used. This begins when your physician certifies that you lack the competence to make the healthcare decisions. Your designee has the obligation to follow your instructions when making decisions on your behalf. If you have no instructions, they will have the same authority to make decisions about your health care as you would have had. You should inform the person you appoint to this role and discuss any wishes you may have or other documents filed that would be your wishes be included. The out-of-hospital do not resuscitate order allows competent adults to refuse certain life-sustaining treatments in non-hospital settings where healthcare professionals are called to assist, including hospital ERs and outpatient settings. In addition to this, the last type of directive is the Declaration of Mental Health Treatment. This directive allows a court to determine when you become incapacitated and when that declaration becomes effective. All these forms are available on the Texas Hospital Association website at theha.org/advancedirectives. Please print these forms, fill them out, and get them filed in your medical record at Midland Memorial Hospital. To do this, please call Health Information Management at 432-221-1600. In addition, when you are registered as a patient at Midland Health, we will ask you about your advanced directives or if you would like additional information. This is Jane reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, April 13th. Midland is 73rd most physically active small city. Midland ranked as the 73rd most physically active small city in the U.S., according to chamberofcommerce.org. The website showed Midland was 73rd of 121 smaller cities ranked. Overall, Midland ranked 114th of 283 cities overall. The data used in this analysis is from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention places. Local data for better health. To determine the most physically active locations, researchers at Chamber of Commerce calculated the share of adults who self-reported engaging in leisure time physical activity, such as running, calisthenics, golf, gardening, or walking for exercise. For context, researchers also included statistics on obesity, high cholesterol, diabetes, and depression. Here is how Midland fared. The share of adults who are physically active in Midland is 72.3%. The average in the United States is 74.4%. The share of adults who are obese is 31.9%. The U.S. average is 31.3%. The share of adults with high cholesterol is 30.9%. The U.S. average is 28.7%. The share of adults with diabetes is 10.5%. The U.S. average is 9.7%. The share of adults with depression is 19.7%. The U.S. average is 18.7%. In terms of small cities, Bellevue, Washington ranked first as 86% of its adults were considered physically active. Odessa and San Angelo were not ranked. Abilene was ranked 87th of 121 cities. The highest ranked mid-sized city was Fremont, California, where 83.2% of adults were considered physically active. Seattle was the top ranked largest city, 84.7%. The highest ranked Texas city in any category was Austin, ranked 8th among larger cities at 78.5%. Tops in Texas percentage-wise was Frisco, which was 22nd among the smaller cities, but showed 80.3% of adults to be physically active. This is Jane reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, April 13th. Midland Walkabout Club hits Fort Davis Mountains. Chihuahuan Desert Research Institute offers trails over 507 acres of natural grassland. The Midland Walkabout Club experienced exciting geology on March 26th. The Chihuahuan Desert Research Institute walk in the Fort Davis Mountains displayed ancient volcanics and seismic activity all around. The trails frequently involved tricky footwork to cross the edges of rock layers, similar to how a bug would walk across the page edges of a closed book that is lying on its spine. After carpooling with three vehicles, the walkers split the walk into two sections, allowing members of the group to choose between challenging and easier terrain. The easier section included a tour of 18 acres of fenced botanical gardens. Though the walk routes chosen involved only a 5-kilometer trek instead of the usual 10 kilometers, its ruggedness left walkers feeling that they were ready to stop by the end of it. Enjoying the walk to experience fun, friendship, exercise, and nature were the following people: Gary Peterson, Carolyn Peterson, Kenneth Rust and Dog Molly, M.K. Ingolstadt, a new member, Bonnie Resnick, Diana Smart, and Laurel Henry. Food and fellowship culminated with such treats as root beer floats at a Fort Davis soda fountain. The Chihuahuan Desert Research Institute is a nonprofit organization started in 1973. It offers trails over its 507 acres of natural grassland. The CDRI website lists hours and upcoming featured events. The Midland Walkabout Club activities are open to visitors and friends. See its website for details or find a brochure at Murray's Deli or at a display board at Midland Wetlands Park. This is Jane reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, April 13th. How do you know if you have AFib? When considering problems with the heart, you might first think of clogged arteries that lead to heart attacks. But the heart has an electrical system which guides how it beats that can go separately haywire. When that happens, the heart can't pump in a rhythmic manner and blood flows to organs may be compromised. If this arrhythmia goes undetected or isn't managed properly, it can cause heart failure, strokes, and death. The most common and frequently undiagnosed arrhythmia is atrial fibrillation, also known as AFib. An estimated 3 million to 6 million Americans have it, and studies show that the number will balloon to 12.1 million by 2030 as the population gets older. Recent studies also found that people who have COVID-19 had a higher risk of AFib and other heart diseases, even among those without a prior history of heart problem. And there is growing evidence that AFib significantly increases the risk of cognitive impairment and dementia. That is why it's important to know the warning signs of atrial fibrillation and to get treatment early. It could save a person's life. What is AFib? Our hearts have four chambers. The two upper ones are the right and left atria, and the lower two are the ventricles. The heart's electrical activity, via tissues that create electrical impulses, starts in the right atrium and spreads quickly to the left, allowing the atria to squeeze blood forward into the ventricles. Then the electrical activity spreads to the ventricles, allowing them to contract and push blood to the rest of the body. Normally, the heart has a regular rhythm, like the ticking of a clock, explained Jeffrey S. Pitt, a cardiologist at Weill Cornell Medicine and director of Cornell's Cardiovascular Research Institute. But when someone experiences AFib, the irregular electrical activity causes the atria to quiver instead of maintaining coordinated pumping. The ventricles still continue to contract but lose their regular clock-like rhythm. Quivering of the atria and thwarted blood flow allow blood to pool and form clots in the upper heart chambers. These clots can then dislodge, travel through the bloodstream and obstruct other vessels, including those that supply the brain, causing strokes and sudden death. Studies show that strokes associated with AFib can be more severe than strokes from other causes. What does AFib feel like? Most commonly, patients feel palpitations, a sensation of racing heartbeats, shortness of breath, lightheadedness, weakness, and fatigue. Some people may also go on to experience heart failure and symptoms such as weight gain, difficulty breathing, and swelling in the belly and feet. But some people may be completely asymptomatic. In fact, For one in five people who have a stroke associated with AFib, it is the first sign that they even have the condition. Otherwise, AFib might be incidentally discovered during a routine visit. When should you see a doctor? People experiencing palpitations, shortness of breath, fatigue, and lightheadedness should see a doctor. With the help of electrocardiograms and implanted devices such as loop recorder, physicians can then determine whether the palpitations are from atrial fibrillation or something else. These include generalized anxiety and panic disorder symptoms, medications such as decongestants and asthma inhalers, or overconsumption of substances like caffeine, nicotine, and stimulant drugs. Pay attention to AFib alerts from smart devices, which could provide warning signs to otherwise asymptomatic individuals. The Apple Watch, Fitbit, and AliveCor Cardia can monitor heart rhythm irregularities and suggest a possible AF diagnosis, but it should be confirmed by a healthcare professional.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, April 12th, 2022. Education section. MISD builds pipeline for the future. Maintaining solid instructional leadership at every campus is critical for continued success in the classroom. That's why this year Midland ISD's Office of Learning, Leading, and Innovation launched the Aspiring Principals Academy, a cohort of select assistant principals who are preparing to lead campuses. This transformational investment is a game changer for the future of our leadership capacity, says Associate Superintendent Charlie Garcia. People are at a premium, and having a pipeline for future instructional leaders will be invaluable to the district. 9 APs were chosen for the academy. While being an AP in the state of Texas already requires obtaining a master's degree, principal certification, and Texas Teacher Evaluation and Support System certification, all applicants apply in the same way a principal does. The process includes a written essay, letters of recommendation, and a face-to-face interview. The Academy hosts 8 professional development sessions that are filled with problem-solving lessons. The Academy isn't run by third-party consultants. The LLI team is leading the way by passing on their expertise as leaders to this inaugural class. I applied for the Academy because it's a great way to learn from district veterans, and I'm especially eager to learn from our new superintendent, said J.R. Napolis, AP at Young Women's Leadership Academy. Everyone has such a deep wealth of knowledge, and I'm already implementing what I've learned. Each AP is connected with a mentor principal, and the final lesson is hands-on leadership experience when they will lead this year's summer school program. The best kind of training is on-the-job training, and working directly with principals and leading summer schools are going to be invaluable, says Melanie Hall, AP at Alamo Junior High. I'm thrilled to have been selected. I'm learning how to think like a principal and how to coach teachers so the whole campus can thrive. It's been great.
Hi, this is Linda, and I'm reading from the Odessa American. This is Wednesday, April 13th, 2022. Searching for the cause of shortness of breath. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. I'm a 70-year-old male, and I've exercised daily all my adult life. I take baby aspirin and 10 milligrams pravastatin daily. I have eaten very little red meat since I was 40. I had an EKG in 2020 that showed a heart attack, but my cardiologist said that with no shortness of breath, not to worry. The EKG was probably wrong. In 2021, I had an echocardiogram that showed my mitral valve was leaking. The report reads mild mitral valve regurgitation. I'm very short of breath now. Do I need a valve replacement? SK. Answer. Trivial or mild valvular insufficiency or regurgitation Both words mean that the valve leaks and the blood flows backwards from the left ventricle the wrong way across the mitral valve up into the left atrium. Is a common finding on echocardiogram and certainly does not mean you need a valve replacement. The EKG is sometimes wrong about having a heart attack. The echocardiogram did not show signs that you were having a heart attack, but I can't say for sure whether you did or did not. The valve issue is not causing your shortness of breath. I read the rest of your echocardiogram report, which also noted grade 1 abnormal relaxation of the left ventricle, also diastolic dysfunction. This is a possible cause of shortness of breath, in which case it is called heart failure with preserved ejection fraction. It's not clear what exactly is causing your shortness of breath. Additional testing on your heart, lungs, and blood might be necessary.
Dear Abby, husband makes a connection as 17-year marriage teeters. Dear Abby, I have been married for 17 years with 3 great kids. My wife and I have struggled on and off during those 17 years. I often feel like maybe I don't love her. We are complete opposites. I'm adventurous, daring, and extroverted. She denies me sex a lot. This last time was for 4 months. During that time, I met someone who has the same adventurous spirit as I do. We have hung out and we text often. She's currently getting a divorce. I'm falling for her and I have expressed it to her. She likes me, but she doesn't want a relationship right now because she isn't sure what she really wants. She's also afraid we both won't really leave our spouses if we start something. I stopped texting her, but she said she will wait for me. How do I manage this? Because I'm hurting in my marriage and hurting by not texting her. Torn in Ohio. Dear Torn, inform your wife that the current status of your marriage is no longer acceptable. Denying marital relations appears to be her way of punishing you, which is unfair. So offer her the option of marriage counseling. If she refuses, I hope you will go alone to help you decide rationally which, if any, next steps you want to take. If you decide to leave your marriage, there is no guarantee the woman you have been seeing will follow through with her divorce. But let her know what your plans are. I should add that for many people, the first relationship after a divorce does not lead to marriage. If you're contemplating jumping from the frying pan into the fire. Dear Abby, I was a birth mom 45 years ago. My mother forced me to give up my child at birth. Not one person supported my wish to keep my child. My heart and mind screamed, "No, don't do it." Now, the birth father says he's sorry because he's having serious health problems and thinks he could be dying. I have forgiven everyone involved over and over, but I've lived with depression, PTSD, etc., all these years, and I cry about it still. The older I get, the more loss I feel. I found my adult child 15 years ago. It started out okay and went downhill from there. My heart aches so much to have a connection with this child of mine. I'm shutting down inside while still waiting. I'm too tired to keep going on. My dreams are gone. My hopes are shattered. I'm ready to curl up and die. What can I do? Signed, Destroyed in Washington. Dear Destroyed, I am sorry for your overwhelming pain. What you need to do, and quickly, before you shut down further, is summon the strength to seek help from a licensed mental health professional. 45 years ago, attitudes about out-of-wedlock births were far different than they are today. Neither you nor the father of that child were equipped to properly care for the baby. Because you have forgiven everyone else over and over, it is time to find a way to forgive yourself and put a stop to your endless grieving.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.